Hello, hello. Prague, Czechoslovakia calling. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
That was Radio Prague greeting listeners to its English programmes back in 1937. Those were troubled times, with Nazi Germany breathing down Czechoslovakia's neck, and tensions in the mainly German-speaking Sudetenland rising rapidly. The young British historian Hugh Seton Watson was in Czechoslovakia in September of that year. Talking to Radio Prague, he was far from optimistic about the country's future.
She has many difficult problems to face, and among them the same problem of the rights of other nationalities, which the Austrian Empire failed to solve. For within her territories are 3.5 million Germans and 500,000 Hungarians. Since the rise of Hitler to power, and since the slump, she has felt increasingly the need to work with her neighbours. Unfortunately, the memories of the injustices they suffered in the past, and the sense that they have won their freedom by their own struggle, make it difficult for the Czech people to be conciliatory.
Another British visitor at that time was Edgar Young, a First World War veteran, journalist and left-wing politician. At the end of 1936, he paid a visit to the Sudetenland, by that time dominated by the Nazi-sympathising Sudeten German Party, to see the situation for himself. He spoke to Radio Prague.
Before Christmas, I went for a journey through the districts along the German border, between Karlovy Vary, or Karlsbad, and Liberec, or Reichenberg, which are inhabited by a preponderance of German-speaking people. These districts, which are mainly industrial, and which depended for their prosperity upon foreign trade, are suffering severely from the effects of the world economic crisis and of the increasing tendency towards autarky. The sufferings of these Czechoslovak Germans are due, in no small measure, to the selfish economic policy of Germany and to the past unpatriotic actions of their own employers, who are mainly Germans of the opposition. Yet they are represented to the victims as being the fault of the Czechoslovak government. There are nevertheless, even in these heavily propagandized districts, considerable numbers of democratic Germans who are loyally collaborating with the government, in which indeed they have their own representatives. The only signs which I saw anywhere of an oppressed minority was in a certain town which shall remain nameless and which is a hotbed of anti-government agitation. There, the minority of Czechs and democratic Germans are considerably terrorized by the dominant clique. Victimization for political views is common, and an unemployed man or woman finds it wiser, in order to obtain employment, to profess at least allegiance to the opposition German party. It was very noticeable, I found, that as one gets away from the German frontier, the tension between Czechs and Germans relaxes. Thus, at Brno, which has a considerable German minority, the relations between the two races can only be described as cordial. There is hope, therefore, that the insistent friendliness of the democratic majority of the population, German no less than Czech, will eventually triumph over that hysteria which is at present causing so much heart-burning among the 3.25 million German-speaking subjects of Czechoslovakia.
The British journalist and politician Edgar Young, talking in February 1937. One thing that makes that recording particularly fascinating is the insight it gives into the political pressures that Sudeten Germans themselves were under from their Nazi leaders. As we've seen so often in the pre-war recordings in this series, Edgar Young's optimism was tragically misplaced.